Welcome back to the Nullified Take channel on YouTube, where we've got the TNT takes for you on Australian Survivor Titans versus Rebels. I'm your host, Chris. Joining me tonight is Mucky, who will be doing a reveal at some point. I think he's got his camera off. And we've got our very special guest, Aileen, in the house as well. Aileen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I actually dropped something on the floor. Hang on.
Go for it.
It's my crown.
Oh, look at that. It's the crown.
Oh, Mucky's there. I told you he's lurking.
Well, since you just did the big reveal, it's time for me. Bonjour, je m'appelle Michael. Monsieur Michael to Madame Aileen. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, Aileen.
Oh, thanks, Mucky. I've been doing my Duolingo. I'm on like day 72. In French, so très bien.
Ah, très bien, très bien.
Mucky, love the soup.
I know,
mate.
A little bit of French. I live with French Canadian.
Listen, where was the suit when we met for the first time? You need to tell her the story of when we met for the first time in real life. There was no suit back then. I had the suit on.
Okay, so really funny story, Aileen. So what happened was that Chris had like some kind of like job interview or something. And I'd just woken up and I needed some toilet paper, some other toiletries and stuff. So I got shopping, pretty much still half of my pajamas, hair's frizzled everywhere, tog shorts, jandals, light shirt. And Chris is like, yo, I'm in the CBD because that's where I live. And I was like, oh, we should like meet up. And here he comes around the corner, all tucked up, tie, flash shoes and everything, nice hair done. And I'm literally looking like a homeless person. And like, we're around Auckland together. Literally the rich and the homeless, right? And I'm just holding a bag of toilet paper.
I just saw people judging me as I was walking with Mucky down the street. So it's very different for me to see him actually all dressed up. That tells you, Aileen, he's really dressed to impress here for this podcast. But we're so happy to have you on board, you know, to come and talk to us about Australian Survivor. We had a lot of fun watching this season. I think it was one of the best seasons we've seen, maybe potentially the best of Australian Survivor. Did you have like any idea playing the show that it was going to be so well received by the fans while you were out there? Could you feel like this was going to be a great season?
I think the fact that we were reacting and there were so many unexpected twists and turns and all of us kind of adapting in the situation, we sort of knew like at least in the halfway point that it was going to be an epic season. And I was just so proud to be part of it and just absorb everything and kind of, you know, you want to let certain characters play out, like Kelly, for example, you know, let her do her thing because it's going to make a great show. And I couldn't be any more proud of my cast.
Yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, before we get too deep into your game, I'm really curious, and I'm thinking a lot of people probably would want to know this as well. Like, who was Aileen before Survivor? Like, you know, what was your life like before you actually ended up on the show?
Sure. So if we want to go way, way back, I actually used to live in the Philippines for like 15 years of my life. I am Filipino, Malaysian, Chinese. I also lived 3 years in Nepal. So pretty international kid growing up. But my first introduction to Survivor was when my friend in primary school, she was like, look, one of the seasons in the US Survivor, they're filming on an island in the Philippines. And she basically pointed it out on a map. And I was like, cool. And then started watching it. And I was like obsessed and I was hooked. And I was like, I could just see myself like playing the game for some reason, feeling like, you know, I'm an island girl at heart. And the fact that it was just like a social experiment where people were given permission to lie, deceive. And in normal life, you don't really get to do that or you don't really want to do that. So I was like, I need to try this out. For the longest time, I could like envision myself going on it, but I only applied last year and I got it. So happy.
That's amazing. First time applying for the show and you actually get on. We've got a lot of people in the live already. Chris, who is our moderator, she will keep everybody in line tonight, is here saying hello. This was Chris's first season of Survivor Australia. She's always been a fan of Survivor CBS, but really she's enjoyed it. Also have hello in the house. We've got Kiwi there. Marcus saying, Aileen, blink twice if you need help or once. Tom also keeping people, make sure everybody's in line. He is in the live today as well. And we've also
got Tom doing. Tom, where are you at? Tom, hello.
Tom did send. Tom did send something through, but he sent something through for one of your castmates because he heard that it was a special someone's birthday today, and it just so happens to be his favorite player this season. So let's see what Tom had to say for Garrick. Now, why can't I see the button? Okay, here we go. And audio.
See, this is how good of an actor Tom is. There's no audio.
Can you hear it now?
Is there? No. Is there a transcription?
Oh, no. This was perfect.
All I got to say is this is not on Chris. This is all on Tom for being a
Definitely. You know, he needed to speak up. Let me try again. I think it's because I had the live in the background going at the same time, and I heard myself twice, and I muted it. Let's try again. Tell me if you can hear this.
Happy birthday, Garrick, my little silver buddy. You know, on that island, we confided with each other. We cuddled each other. We even cried with each other, thanks to Kirby, that terrible Alliance member. But today, you're a year older, and you might be really good at smelling the rats, but right now, all I can smell is love. Happy birthday, bro. No, you hang up.
Tom did make it. Happy birthday for Garrick, 60 years old, I believe, today. Obviously, one of your fellow castmates as well. So, like I said, Tom was a big fan of Garrick this season. And we're going to get all into all of your tribe mates, what your thoughts were when you get on the beach and all of that as well. But I'm kind of curious to know, like, how did Survivor change you? Like, you know, you're this big fan, you think about Survivor, you want to go play it. Like a lot of us who are big fans of the show, what's it like now that you've been out there? Like, how has it changed you from being a fan to being a player? And like, what have you learned?
I wasn't even going to say it on the podcast, but I guess I told you guys before, right? I am going to travel to America for an extended period of time, and I really haven't planned that much. And I'm usually like a really organized person. I have everything laid out. I still have my spreadsheet, but there's nothing in the spreadsheet. I've been putting it off, and I don't know. I think something about Survivor just made me feel like I could just be more spontaneous and take a lot of risks and just like roll with the punches and I'll be fine. And I know I'm going to be fine. I'll just be a little last minute. But yeah, I think Survivor's just made me feel like I could do a lot more than and not hold myself back.
Yeah. I mean, amazing. So you're now a risk taker. You're someone that's going to go out to America to go do this. This next one wasn't preempted, but I know you spoke a little bit about you've had some words with Survivor players, but I actually wanted to know, like, who's like the Survivor player you've been able to talk to that you've been the most starstruck by, either in Australia or over in the US, someone that's reached out where you were like, oh, wow, I can't believe I'm now in the inner circle and I'm talking to other Survivor players.
So many, but let me tell you, Dino from Outcasts in Survivor South Africa reached out and was he sent a very heartwarming message. And I was just like, the winner has time for me.
Dino's so amazing. Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'd love to meet him one day. Shout out to Dino if you ever come here. Pegleg also reached. Guys, Pegleg and I are friends, internet friends. He reached out, I think, when the episode showed the Pegleg's pirate situation. And we just missed each other. I think he's in Sydney right now. And we tried to like see if we could meet up, but we couldn't because that would have been fun. Like a surprise, a reveal on the internet, you know, both of us together. But yeah, it'll have to be a next time thing.
Yeah. Dino is a good friend of the podcast as well. So he's been on the podcast before. One of the nicest guys. Big fan. I feel like for Survivor South Africa, he's like one of the best ambassadors that we have for the South African franchise. So amazing to know that you've had a conversation with him already. Now, let's talk a little bit about like your time on the actual show, you know, on the island. You get onto Survivor, you find out. And when did you find out what the theme was going to be? Did you find out when you were on the show? Did you get to find out just prior to marooning? Like, talk us through that.
So I did the whole audition process from the beginning until end organically. As soon as the last season, Heroes versus Villains, wrapped up. They did advertise on TV, casting open. And then I sort of emailed them and they're like, you can do it. And then, so I remember just that whole weekend, I planned my script. My previous birthday party was Survivor themed. So I had like a handkerchief with a Survivor logo on it. And I wore that handkerchief in front of a tree. I had my phone and my GoPro because I wanted to film like a quick confessional sort of situation. And I knew that you had to have different angles and all that. I took it super seriously, filmed myself in front of a tree in a park, and people were walking by and they were like, what the hell's going on? But I did not give a damn. And then submitted that. And then here's a tip for everyone. And the casting agents are probably going to remove themselves off from LinkedIn after this. But I basically stalked the production company on LinkedIn and I went through every single person on the jobs and searched for casting producers or casting agents, found the right people. And sometimes in their bio, it says casting for Survivor 2023. I DM'd them on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and some of them even put their mobile numbers on there. And then I got the immediate response and it just went from there. So you gotta be, you know, I had nothing to lose at the, and I was pretty desperate to go on as well, you know, being a Survivor super fan. And then when I found out what the theme was, it was my very, 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 very last interview. And for some reason, I thought it's going to be millennials versus Gen X. Blah, blah, blah. So like in my head, I prepared all these answers. And then they were like, you're potentially a rebel. And I was like, why? I just didn't know. And then I was like, oh, my God. And I actually thought I bombed that last interview, but they actually, so my backstory on the show is that interview. And I was like, that's weird, because I thought I really did bad. And I know at that point I had told my boss already that like I was potentially going to go on, and I'm probably going to find out really soon. And then I came back to work like devastated for the whole day. I was so depressed because I thought I didn't do well. And then I told my boyfriend Tom, sorry Mucky, I do have a boyfriend.
Mucky's gone, it's me and you for the rest of the interview now. That was literally the only reason that I got him in here, just so he could have a chat with you, and you've now broken his heart. He's gone. I
know. You could be my internet boyfriend. It's fine.
Don't tell Mucky.
I heard that.
No, and then I went to Tom and I was like, I'm so worried about this. And he was like, why don't you tell them you're more of a Titan? I was like, they've given me this character already. And then I did like a rebel quiz online. I was like, what type of rebel am I? And then I wrote like a 2-page PDF about like why I'm a rebel. And then I actually gave it to production. I was like, these are the reasons. I think they were like, what? But I know I took it so seriously.
That's amazing. Like, I mean, to go through, like, what test was this? Is like a personality test or something that you did online?
Actually, Tom was the one who found it, because there's like different types of, I should get it up. I should send it to you guys later, but there's different types of rebels. I think mine was like the traveler, where like you're open to different experiences and like, and I was like, okay.
What's your, like, do you know your Chinese zodiac? I'm kind of curious.
I'm a rat.
Oh, no. You share the same year as The Rock? The Rock's a rat.
Is he?
Did you know that? Yeah.
No, that's random, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure The Rock is a rat. Yeah, I remember this. Because I was it's like he's the opposite of a rat when you look at him physically, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's like the ox. Yeah. He's like the tiger. Yeah, well, I know my horoscope, and that's Scorpio, and I share that with like Kendall Jenner, so.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this because, like, I feel like a rat would be kind of like a more like a sneaky type of rebel, you know, where it's kind of interesting because you watch the seasons as a fan, and I know that, you know, we ask Ferris and Mark the question of where would you place all of us if we were to go out and play the season? Yeah. Do you think we're a Titan or a rebel? And they had me as a Titan and obviously Mucky as a rebel if we were to go out and play the game. But my Chinese zodiac is that of a tiger. So I kind of know the tiger's personality isn't necessarily always a Titan. So I feel like I could fall into either one of those two. So I can see how that would be tough to like come to terms with when they're like, oh, you're a rebel. And you're like, actually, I think I'm a Titan. Or if they tell me I'm a Titan and I'm like, I think I'm a rebel. It can be tough. Well,
I think I'm both. Look, like I saw in my real life.
You were both. You were there for this season.
Thank you. in my real life, I do try and, you know, like I'm a go-getter. I message people on LinkedIn. like recruiters. I just like put myself out there, and I managed to have success doing that. So I definitely have both, I think. Garrick and
smell a rat. Rachel saying hearts are breaking across the nation now that they know that Aileen is off the market. And Fathead Slim saying the rebellious spreadsheet and PDF writer.
See what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
I can see that. I can see that. Now I'm kind of curious, you know, going into the show, you now know that you're a rebel. You're going to go out there and play this show. What was the game plan? What was the strategy from the point where you knew there's a chance you're going to get onto the show, you're getting asked to come back for multiple interviews and things like that? From that point onwards, how did you plan for going in? Did you do any physical preparation? Did you do mental preparation? What did that look like?
I think watching thousands of hours is my preparation for the show. It just prepares you to expect the unexpected. And in terms of physical stuff, I do a bunch of random hobbies. You know, I do bouldering, Pilates, Legree, weights, cardio, very average. Like, I'm just like a normal, I just do all of these things, but I think it all gave me all these little skills that I could utilize when I needed it the most, especially when holding on to that rope in the A-frame. Like, my grip was really good, and I knew exactly which angles I could use to make sure like certain parts of my arm wouldn't tire as fast. So I definitely credit that to bouldering. I had 3 weeks before I found out that I was going to go on. So I didn't, you know what? In fact, my brain was just like, they want you as who you are. There's no point like overdoing anything because the game is so dynamic. It also relies on who the other 23 other contestants are, and they're all going to be very different. I did try like a 9-piece tangram puzzle, but we ended up having like a 25-piece one on the show, which involved a border and then like a gradient. So that didn't really help at all. I also tried, you know, those like four cube stacks with all different colors.
Yeah,
I actually couldn't solve that one at home, so I just gave up. It was really hard. I tried watching a YouTube video, but it was all about mathematical, like, something. And I'm just, like, not a math person. So, yeah, I was going to rely on my social skills because I do feel like I'm a really social person out of the game. I think a lot of the bigger personalities definitely took away, like, the screen time or whatever. But I was killing it on the Rebels Tribe at the very beginning. I said that I had... like my alliance was of many different layers of onions. I had me, Scott, Garrick, me, Ferris, Garrick, Raymond, and then Kirby Ree. And then I was also potentially at the bottom of like the Cuddle Alliance. I know they were trying to pull me in, and I was very aware of that, but I was like, I'm definitely not with them. So,
right. Yeah. It's very interesting. Go ahead.
Also, all I got to say is that, you know, everyone gave me a lot of crap for week one. Was saying you were playing the best game, Miley, but you know, I saw those onion layers, I saw them, you know.
So you had this very unique tribe in the beginning because of obviously the Cuddle Alliance forming. How obvious were they? Like in the TV show, it was like they only hung out together, they didn't really intermingle with anybody else, it looked like they isolated themselves. Was that very accurate, or did the TV show hyper focus on that aspect of it to tell a story?
It was more obvious than what you saw, because they'd literally go, like the four of them walk like 100 meters away by themselves. They're like, we're going to go. And we're like, what? And it was confusing because PETA had said that she had watched the show many times and she's a fan. And I thought she'd know better, you know, like also like being very obvious with the cuddling. I get it. You're cold, whatever. But like, yeah, it was just like so obvious. And then we had Sarah and Tobias be like a pair as well, and I was just like, why, you know what I mean? Like, just it was so weird.
I've got Gabe here in the live saying Chris quick, get into Odd Sports to help you get cast for Survivor. Listen, I'm taking mental notes here, Gabe, don't worry. I don't have a notepad in front of me, but you know, I'm definitely going to be taking up some Odd Sports. One of the Odd Sports I do have is, you know, keeping Mucky in check all of the time. You know, it requires a very big athletic, you know, acumen, but it's more of the brain. You know, you got to stay focused. It prepares me. I feel like being friends with Mucky mentally prepares me more than anybody else to go and play Survivor. You know, how long has it been now, Mucky? 2 years?
Yes, it's been two and a bit years. But if there's one thing I've taken away, is that harassment will get you casted, right? So I will find these people. I'll send them voice messages. I'll start calling them. Like, this is how I get in.
Yeah, 10-minute voice messages. I think that's the way to go. If you and Eileen, you should direct them to the casting team, because then he won't be sending you those 10-minute voice messages anymore.
Oh my god, I think I've trained Mucky a little. He knows. I think the what he said. Let me check. He sent me a 2:31 today. That's that's a long one, but that's like not 10 minutes. And Mucky, I still haven't listened to it.
You're gonna have to tell me your secrets afterwards, because I still haven't been able to cut down on that 10-minute voice note. So clearly you've got the skills. Now, one of the things I've noticed, Eileen, is that you didn't really mention Ferris there in that Onion Alliance. You maybe did very briefly. Where did Ferris sort of come into play? Like, it sounds like he wasn't necessarily your first choice in the beginning to work with. And, you know, and even in the show, it kind of looked like a lot of people were very skeptical throughout the whole time working with Ferris. And we as a group just couldn't understand that. Like, he seemed very loyal to the people that were loyal to him, but a lot of people were reluctant to work with him.
No, I definitely mentioned him very quickly in that Onion thing. And right. He was him, me, and Raymond formed our bond on night two. Night one was probably Scott. So me, Garrick, and Scott were supposed to be the ride or die three, because he had a really good relationship with Garrick at the very beginning, and then I had a really good relationship with Scott. Scott suggested we do this three because he had a good feeling, and so that lasted not very long. Scott ended up, like, I think he was drawn to Kirby because he told me he was like feeling this spiritual connection and all the stuff that is not game related, and I could feel and see that he was drifting, and that's fine. But I then had to alert my core alliance, which was Garrick, Raymond, and Ferris, that he was going, and I was being truthful, right? But then, because I was playing double agent and both sides so well, my own alliance was contemplating whether I was actually with them or not, and it got to the point where we actually had this like little bit of a confrontational situation where we had to kind of bring Scott and interrogate him, and then Scott and I had a bit of a short brief separation, and then I apologized the next day because apparently he felt attacked by the whole situation. And then him and I actually still had our bond, and we told each other that we would keep each look out for each other's names and keep each other off the voting block as much as possible.
You've got your big brother Ferris here in the live saying, stay away from Eileen, Mucky. So Ferris is watching.
I thought you said you weren't coming.
Ferris is always watching. Ferris is always watching. Like, I feel like he's been in every single live that we've done recently, even in our Survivor US lives. Ferris has been great. Listen, that's very interesting. So prior to going into the Titans tribe, where you have this bit of a tribe swap happening, what was the biggest move you wish everybody saw, the biggest thing that you sort of did while you were out there that maybe never made the cut? Like, was there anything? The Onion Alliance is obviously a big part of it, and then trying to split the votes, right? But that all sort of made the show, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think what made the show is what I did was shown. Just maybe not a lot of like the intimate one-on-one conversations I had with people. Like after it was clear that I was with Ferris, Raymond, and Garrick, I still had my one-on-one chats with Kirby, and I told her that I was open to working with her. And I told her very early on after Tribe Swap that I would prove that by not writing her name down. And so when it came to the very sticky situation that all of my alliance wanted to put Kirby's name down, I was like, I'm not doing that. And it made a lot of people in my alliance uncomfortable. But then also because of the situation, I was like, we need a plan C. Because what if, like, let's say Ferris plays his idol for Garrick? What if for some reason we all thought Kelly had an idol? What if she played it for Kirby, which would have been likely? Then we're at a stalemate. So why don't we just like put Kelly down as the plan C, and then at least we don't have to deal with the aftermath of what's going to happen after.
Yeah, you've mentioned Kirby quite a few times there. Just before you go, Mucky, I'll give you the next one. Gabe here asks, you know, the magic of Kirby's social game lured in Scott early on. What was it like playing the game with Kirby? Because it looked like, in my opinion, as a fan watching an edited show, she seemed to be one of the best social players we've seen on Australian Survivor. Was that true while she was out there? Was she really that great at making those connections?
The way and the word that I described Kirby over and over and over again is that she's so endearing. You know, the way she makes connections at the very beginning is she opens up about her culture. And I definitely asked her so many questions about, like, the Aboriginal culture. And we had a really, really good personal connection. The reason why I didn't end up working with her was because she never actually asked me to be in her alliance. I think she just assumed, because we were getting along really well, that one day she was like, it's you, me, Scott, and Rhi. And I was like, because I already said yes to, like, Ferris, Garrick, and Raymond first. And then, like, we wanted to get out Rihanna. And eventually I did confess to her that that was the plan. You know, someone was going to tell her eventually. So I thought it'd be better if I just told her myself. And then from that point on, she felt sort of betrayed. And it was really hard to, well, I never got to work with her again, really.
Yeah, and that's actually what I was going to ask. So obviously the plan was to take out Rihanna, but then there was a non-elimination. If Rihanna had gone home, because obviously during the tribe swap, that's when the Ferris and Kirby war really, really heated up. Do you think if Rihanna went, potentially there would have been some peace between you guys and Kirby, or do you think the war still would have happened at the swap still?
I think there would have been a war because, like Kirby said, once you betray her trust, it's hard to build it back up again. And look, our side may have been open to working with her. I may have been open to working with her, but she would have probably taken advantage of grabbing those three Titans and Kelly to and Scott to come up with something. So yeah, probably unlikely.
We've got a really good question here from Gabe asking, was Aileen the reason that Ferris didn't target Kirby at the vote before it became a non-elimination?
Was Aileen the reason Ferris didn't target
Kirby? So the non-elimination would have been the one where they sent Kelly over. And Ferris was talking about you guys were going to target Rhi in that moment. Did you
I think it was like Garrick. I think it was Garrick, because Garrick was the one who suggested Rihanna's name. And that was smart because, she's the lieutenant, right? So you might as well take out the lieutenant.
Yeah, take out some of the power that she had in the game. We also had a really good question when Ferris and Mark was in, so I'm going to bring that one back. Did you have, like, in this early stages, any, like, inkling that maybe Kirby was more than just the average person playing this game and that she actually was a former athlete? Like, you know?
Immediately. Like, I remember this was even before the game started. We had to film, like, the marooning, you know, or, like, us on the pirate ships, like, we're and we couldn't speak to each other or anything. And I just saw Kirby there and I could see her stature. And she also wore like her Converse shoes with her socks and her, it just gave me like athlete vibes. Yeah. And then once she started, you know, once we were able to communicate, ETC, I was like, this woman knows how to direct things and she's very strategic. She has to be some sort of like sports coach or something. And she, I think the way she described like her job description at the beginning was that she was like empowering youth or something. I was like, that's cool. I think there's more to that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's you get so many people who lie about their profession when they go out there and
I did
play the game. Yeah. So what were you? What did you tell them you did when you went out there?
So I didn't want people to know that I have two jobs just because that already sort of makes people feel like, why does she deserve $500,000? And I didn't want people to know that I was as smart as I am. So I just said that I work as a waitress in a cafe, which I do casually on the weekends. And I did before I had my full-time office job, but my full-time job is an operations manager for an investment fund.
Wow. Yeah, so there you go.
Of the Mucky Hope strategy, you just got to act dumb, you got to act stupid, and then no one will see you coming, right?
Yeah, but then you're gonna get the Raymond comment saying you have no future or whatever he said, which I found so funny. I like don't. It was when it came out. I was in the room with a lot of my friends, and they were like offended, and I was like, this is hilarious. AF, like it was fine, and I was like, I know the context of this, and poor Raymond like felt he had to like apologize on social media, and I was like, no, don't. And then I posted the photo of us being fine, so we're fine.
Yeah. It's crazy how, you know, and I guess we could talk a little bit about that while you brought it up. what is it like playing this game? And do you even at any point think about social media when you are about to do a backstab or anything like that? Because it's a reality that a lot of people have to deal with, right? You're either loved by the fans, or some fans can be pretty nasty. I feel like it's more the casual fans. I think the real super fans, the people who actually appreciate good gameplay, understand that it's an edited show and that things happen for a reason, and that being backstabbing or conniving while you're out there, it's a game. But does that even come into play for you as a player when you're out there? Do anybody think about that? You know, because I feel like in the US they're hyper aware. The Australian version, people still seem to be a little bit more of who they are.
For me, not at all. I wasn't thinking about how the casual audience is gonna react if I do XYZ on TV. I was there to play the game, okay? And I've watched so many seasons to know that the true Survivor fans, or the ones who get it, will respect the lying and the backstabbing if there was a purpose to it, you know, not like on a personal level, on a game level. And I was there to do that, and I wanted to do that. And I was gonna, at the end, whoever did that at the end at the final two, if I was voting for them, I would give my vote for that, you know.
Yeah. Well, you go ahead, Mucky.
Well, as a true Survivor fan who always loves and respects the players, you know, this is the only time I'll actually defend Ferris on the podcast. But there was one point where it seemed like you're actually going to betray Ferris, and that was at the Charles photo. Were you actually like seriously considering like voting him out to that tribal if the twist didn't happen, like throwing your vote onto him? Or
no, not Ferris. I think as a defense mechanism, I think I was going to throw a vote on Ray, because they said it could be between Ferris or Ray, because I knew that there was some chance. Like, I was going home that night because of the situation and Ferris playing his idol, but I was like, it seems like they're potentially more willing to work with me than with Raymond and then with Ferris, and they're trying to flush out Ferris's idol anyway. So I was like, maybe I just put my vote on Raymond potentially, and then Raymond, I think, was going to put a vote on me. But then when I was getting into tribal council, I was like, wait, we're literally giving the Titans more numbers as we go into merge. And obviously, I want to make it to merge. So I was like, let's just do this Rebel Strong thing. And I will say, I'm not going to lie, like, I was feeling so vulnerable, very humiliated, even though I tried to like stand up for myself. And just, I felt the heat that night, and thanks to Ferris, who backed me up and supported me, I felt valued, and you know, I was more willing to work with him and Raymond moving forward, especially since we had survived. So yeah, circumstances can change like that.
I want to backtrack just slightly before we go back to that tribal council. You know, you had, I guess, this tribe swap. You've got a bunch of Titans coming into the game. You've got yourself, Ferris, Garrick, and Ray on the one side. You've got Kirby, Scott, and Kelly on the other side. And the Titans end up going to work with Kirby and Scott and that side. Why do you think things went wrong here? And why do you feel like they kind of, like, obviously, I think Charles mentioned here, it's easier to get an equal footing. So maybe it was purely a numbers game. Do you think there's more that your side could have done to try and entice them to come over?
Definitely. And I think I had some flaws. You know, I didn't play a perfect game. I remember that I wanted to try and reach out to Charles, and I tried to do that on the Spelling Bee Challenge, where I was sitting on the sit out bench with Charles. Kirby was there as well. And I purposely tried to speak to Charles with Kirby listening. And I think that's the first instance where he was like, why are you doing that? Aren't you working with Ferris? And I basically said, like, you know, we have our alliance, but also like Ferris is kind of like dictating things a little bit. And then he was like, ooh, I don't like that. I actually prefer to be an alliance where everyone has equal say. And then I also said something that came across the way that I didn't want it to him. I basically said, like, just let me know, you know, if we want to work together, like, do you guys in your Titan 3 have any idols or advantages that I need to know about? And he was like, why should I be giving you all of this information? And I think he thought that it was just a one-way thing. And it definitely was not my intention for it to be like that. And so he did interrogate me really well on that bench. And I was like flustered. I thought they were going to put that on TV actually. And I was ready for the embarrassment, but they didn't put it on. So yeah.
So would you say Charles was one of those people that could have been a very big threat in this game if he actually got deeper? Did he come across as like one of those? Because we hardly saw him. He was purple in a big way.
Well, for me, I definitely saw him as my biggest threat at Tribe Swap because of how intelligent he was. And I wanted to work with him, but as soon as I knew he wasn't willing to work with me, he became my number one threat and he needed to go.
Now we get into this position where yourself and Ferris, you lose Garrick, you know, obviously you try and get him to play an idol. Can you talk us through this? And how often do you remind Ferris that he should have played the idol on Garrick up until this day?
Nah, I don't remind him about it. I mean, what's gone is gone. And people thought I was bitter at the end about all the idols. And I definitely wasn't. I just wanted to make him sweat a little bit at the end. Because, you know, he's taught me how to be a bit more entertaining. So I shall give what I've been taught. but no, the way I found out or had an inkling that Garrick was going to go home was actually not until the very end when we were about to vote. So prior to that, I had spoken to Valeria and Charles, and I knew that they were lying to me. They were giving the tells. Valeria was very quiet. Charles was like fidgeting with his fingers or something, and I was like, he's lying. And then Scott, because him and I were still on separate alliances but still like helping each other out, he walks by really quickly and he was like, it's not you. And I was like, okay, thank you. So who is it then? And then throughout tribal council, I was really trying to suss out what was going on. And it wasn't until, oh, there's Tom. He says, go Eileen. he's tuning in. Then in the voting booth, I see everyone's arms moving and I could see the elbows and the motions. And I was like, okay, it's not Ferris because it's not short enough. It's not Raymond because it's not ending with a D. It's Garrick because it's G-A-R-R-R-I-C-K. And I was like, okay, that's it. So then when Jonathan asks, does anyone have an idol or advantage you want to play? That's the only time when I go to Ferris and I was like, play your idol for Garrick. And of course, I don't blame him. He's like, what? I'm like, what? and I was like, please do it. And it didn't, obviously, like, it didn't happen. And I can't blame him.
Yeah. Teal Trooper here saying, very smart. I don't know how you pronounce this. Soki says, when's Mucky and Aileen song dropping? Soki? Anyways, it's coming. It's going to be at the end. It's going to be worth the wait. I promise everybody. You would have seen everybody already giving. We've had a select few of the listeners do an early review of the song, and a lot of the stories have gone up over the last couple of days about how it changed their lives, you know? So it's going to come. It's going to be right at the end. And Aileen, I don't know how he got you into this to do the song with him, but I will say one thing. You've got a good singing voice. You must have you done anything like that before? Have you, you know, do you have a background in singing and things like that?
Yeah. Well, my other hobby, I have many, many, many hobbies. Is
you're a slashy. You've got like all these different slashies to you, basically. Have you ever heard that? It's a South African term. We call it slashies.
Not so slashy, like, jack of all trades, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the age of 10, I started classical Broadway and singing lessons, but I haven't done lessons in 10 years and I genuinely miss it. I just haven't found like the right teacher. So if anyone out there knows like a good musical theater vocal coach in Melbourne, please let me know, because I'm dying to just be in the studio again and just practice and all of that. So yeah, I had a bit of training there.
Well, as a singer myself, Eileen, I'm more than happy to take you under my wing and show you how it's done.
Brendan says, I feel like Aileen is so loved in the super fan community that if she was on a fans versus favorite season, the favorites would devolve into a tribe of muckies and she'd pretty much be guaranteed a spot at the end. So that's the perfect season for you to come back. Stay tuned, because we will have a rapid fire question section at the end for Aileen. And maybe one of those questions will be about the theme she would love to come back and play if she did come back. So giving you a little bit of preparation there. But you know, you go into this tribal council, the next one, and this was an interesting one. It looked like you were going to get voted out. Like all sort of, you know, things pointed towards you were in the hot seat that night. And JLP tells you that there is a twist to the game. Can you talk us through what it felt like being there in the moment, having this second lease on life, and knowing that you can, you know, go out there and play for basically an immunity and be one of the three people that would be able to vote?
I thought I was going home. You know, when they said to Ferris, like, you better play your idol for Aileen, I was like, I know he's also up for grabs to go home, and so he's probably going to play it for himself, and that's the correct move he should do, you know, because it's a split vote. And then JLP just announces that there's a twist, and I was like, I think my face was like squinting, I was like like, what? And in the moment, I was just like thinking of all the possibilities of what this challenge could be, because I was like, oh my God, this is like living up to Simon's legacy, you know? You don't know what the challenge is going to be. And there are so many different skill sets that it can challenge. And so I was like, oh God, I just hope that it caters to me. And thank God it did, I guess, or like something in me just like managed to push me through. And I finished and threw all those bean bags within like 10, 15 seconds. It was so quick compared to the rest of the game of that challenge. And I couldn't even celebrate, you know, immediately I was like, okay, who's next? Like, who else needs to win this? And Ferris was right next to me. And Ferris is the type of person who he likes to express his frustration, and he grunts and he's like, oh, blah, blah. So I was like, Ferris, calm down, breathe, breathe, breathe. And I felt like it was this like really supportive moment, and he was able to pull off the win and the third place. And I was just like, thank the Lord.
It was amazing to see it play out the way it did. Like, listen, as a fan, I'm not a big fan of twists like this where only three people can vote, but this was probably the one time I was a little bit biased, because I was really enjoying the alliance that Ferris had, and I could see that yourself and Ferris were in trouble in that moment, and Ray as well, and I was so hoping the underdog could swing things around, and they did. But a very bizarre thing happened back at Tribal Council, with winner finally deciding, I'm going to be the person that needs to take all the heat. And suddenly he started talking about, I was the one who started all the drama. What was it like sitting on the other end of this? Like, did you immediately start suspecting that maybe this guy's got some safety because he's trying to get votes on him? Was that sort of what happened? And obviously you guys played it perfectly at the end, the way that you split your votes.
I didn't catch it. So Ferris caught wind of Winna being weird. I just thought Winna was being weird and that's it. I didn't think about the idol. I was just thinking about getting Charles out. and what they said, what the pitch made sense. You know, Valeria had been a little more forgiving to me and probably had input in potentially trying to put more votes on Ferris, even though like I would have gone home anyway. But yeah, and then Ferris was the one who actually, I was the one who was like, let's do Charles. And he was like, let's do a split vote on Winna and Charles. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? It was so quick in the moment. And I was like, yeah, of course, that's a logical decision. And Kirby, she was like, she looked at me and she was like, let's do Raymond. And I was like, no. I think she was a bit of at a loss then. And it was kind of fun, you know, seeing her on her high horse. And then suddenly, like, her move and her vote wouldn't count. So fun.
Yeah.
If Kirby not had immunity, do you reckon you guys would have gone after Kirby in that moment? Or were you guys always kind of thinking like one of the Titans?
Could be a possibility, just because she was such a big player. But I had just pitched the Rebel Strong thing, so I would have gone against my word, like, for the second time. And I still wanted to technically work with her, right? I said I wasn't going to put her name down. But who knows, in the moment, it could have been a big move, and I'm all about that. So who knows? Hmm.
One of your highlights for me in the game was, you know, I know we've got Brendan here from Australian Survivor Memes as well. Who in the live. Yeah, it's brilliant. He's got a brilliant Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. Go follow Australian Survivor Memes. It's brilliant. But he had this meme about Eileen for the pyramid, you know, challenge that you did. And you went into that challenge knowing you were in danger as well. You know, you had this one round of safety. You didn't have an idol. You still needed to pull a win out. Can you talk us through what it was like being in the middle of that sort of immunity challenge, knowing that it was individual, you could win it for your whole tribe? It's not one of those ones where the whole tribe can throw it for you to be able to get voted out. It's my worst fear as a player to go out there and do these endurance challenges. What was your strategy to stay focused in the moment while you were out there?
Well, I was going to be so pissed off if it was one of those challenges where my team could influence throwing it, but luckily it wasn't. My mentality going into it was, and I've said this before, that my dad is a Buddhist, and he's taught me from a young age to use meditation and breathing as a way to focus and calm yourself. And I kind of use that in my head. And I had a lot of distractions. You know, there were people taunting me on the other side. Jaden was literally screaming across, trying to like ask me personal questions about like how much I weigh or my age or like I don't know what he was doing. It was fine, but it was like annoying. And then I tried to block that out. And then I think eventually there was like a turning point where my tribe was like, oh, she might actually like win this or go to the end, or she's serious about not wanting to lose this challenge. And then it became a very supportive environment. And I did tell them, I was like, guys, I need silence. So they actually, you know, chimed down a little bit and it was fine. And obviously I just knew that if I was to let go, I'd probably be the one voted out. What was actually difficult was not even holding on the rope. It was the sun. It was so hot and I was like sweating. I'm a sweater. Okay. So like when it's hot, I'm sweating and things were getting slippery and my feet were burning because the sun was on the platform and it was just like really uncomfortable. So yeah. And then I was against Rihanna and Kitty and they couldn't see me because they were facing the other way. I could see them. And every now and then I'd peek and they seemed pretty solid. It was only like my tribe mates in the Titans telling me all like, they look like they're struggling. Rihanna looks like whatever. So that helped me as well, but it was definitely sheer grit of knowing that my back was up against the wall. And I definitely credit that, that skill that I have. That I found out I didn't know I had.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because you have to time your run in Survivor to manage your threat level, and you took out two of the strongest females that were out there in this challenge. Did that suddenly raise people's sort of, you know, did it raise your threat level to a point where people were suddenly like, whoa, okay, not only is Aileen really good at the smart things out here, but she's also physically pretty strong? Do you think that's what sort of made you a bigger target going into the merge, because people were suddenly put on alert?
Most definitely. Kirby was complimenting me, but also kind of raising the threat level at the same time. She was like, endurance queen, mental endurance queen. And I was like, don't say that out loud. And I surprised myself. I seriously did. Like, now I know I can do it, right? But at that point in time, I didn't. And I was like, this isn't even merge yet. And I had just saved my butt twice. There's still potentially another vote or two before there's a sense of merge. And so I was like, what am I going to do now? And I was constantly looking for idols during this period of time. And I think I was close to one apparently, but I couldn't find one and it was really sad.
We've got Blood Money here asking, would you do Survivor USA or Traitors or Squid Game the Challenge? There's a bunch of different shows being thrown out there. Have you seen all of the shows, I should ask, because there's a few non-Survivor shows.
Survivor USA, of course. I'm up to date. I've watched all 45 seasons plus up to date with 46. Definitely would love to go on. If there's an opportunity for like a global one, that'd be fun. Because then I could see, I'm a pretty international person, right? So I'd want to test how that plays into the social aspect of the game. Traitors, 100%. I'm so sad that it was discontinued in Australia. I watched at least, I think I watched the first season and I was going to catch up to the second one, but then got caught up with Survivor. And I met Annabelle on Traitors 2. So now I do have to watch the show because apparently she was a badass person on there. So I'd love to be on Traitors and Squid Game the Challenge. I did attempt to like put in an application just for fun though. Like as soon as Survivor ended, just to see if like my name would be put in there. So I think my name is in there, but if you're, oh my God, the microphone, if you're listening guys,
put me on.
There,
it's, good,
yeah.
It's good money. It's like, Ziggy. Isn't it like,
is
it like Ziggy?
Is it 4 point? Yeah. 4.56 minus taxes. Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Something like that. It's a crazy amount of money.
I just want the tracksuit. How cool is their green tracksuit? And like to sleep in that like massive bunker dungeon thing. New Zealand. Lucky. Now's time to give me the favor, isn't it?
Well, all I gotta say is you're the one going here like, oh, I have a boyfriend named Tom.
You should have waited until he gave you the in, Aileen. You should have broken his heart afterwards, not while you're asking for the favor. So one of the questions that someone asked earlier, I wanted to come back to this. Someone had Hello had a question for you earlier asking question, besides your core four, did you have any secret alliances that you considered working with if you had to flip at the end game? So you obviously had your core four going into the merge. Like, I guess, what was your, did you see the path way outside of that core four, or was the core four always the ones that you were going to remain loyal to?
Just before Merge, Scott and I regrouped. We were always chatting, but we definitely had a discussion about we could see Kirby and Ferris wanting to finally work together. And obviously, I was sort of like the secondhand strategist next to Ferris. And then Scott was next to Kirby. And we were like, let's make this powerful four. And then Scott and I can eventually turn on our own Kirby and Ferris. So that was actually a plan that we were going to take into Merge. And then I think once I met like Mark at Merge, I could see our, I could see us working together, but unfortunately we just didn't vote together for the two or three times prior to me exiting the game. But our relationship on the show was great. Sorry, Mucky, again.
It's always Mark. Every turn is always Mark. He's wearing your pants. Oh, yeah.
The beef between Mark and Mucky is real. Like, you know, it's the it's like the rivalry between Simon and George, Mucky being Simon in this cage, and Mark that it's one way. Mark doesn't even know who Mucky is, but Mucky's got this beef right now.
Yeah.
Do we need to send you a get along shirt or something? Do we need to
We definitely need to get the get along shirt for Mucky. He attempted to put Mark when we did our end of season sort of ratings of players and where we thought they would sit, legendary all-star 50-50. I think one was Ice Ice Baby, so one hit wonder, and the other one was Who. He tried to put Mark under the Who category. Like, yeah, he was really not trying to
Like, he's a perfect cast right for Game Changers because he did nothing, just like most of the cast in Game Changers.
It continues. So I did actually have a question about Scott, and you sort of brought him up. Like, I wanted to ask, how did Scott leaving the game affect your game? Because you had such a good relationship with him. What was it like sitting through it? And did you see it coming? Like, was it as shocking to you as it was for us as an audience? Because we saw this guy, he's in the game, seems like a nice guy. Next thing we know, he's tapping out. And it seemed like it happened very suddenly for us as an audience.
I didn't see that one coming. I had been aware and witnessed him struggling a little bit early on in the game. The first time was at Rebels. Unfortunately, his blood pressure was really low at one point, and it was a little bit concerning. And then what wasn't shown on TV was there was this actual like earthquake that happened on the island, and we had to be evacuated for a short period of time and moved somewhere further up because of like a tsunami, like potential warning or whatever. And the locals were all chill, you know, they were walking the other way and they were like kind of laughing at us. But the potential like threat of a natural disaster really affected Scott, and I didn't know that until he was sitting next to me and he expressed like it was like a serious concern for him. And I was like, oh, like this is terrible because like this is just the situation we're in. We're also doing something that's protocol. I hope he'll be okay. So that was like the second time, but I didn't see this one coming.
Wow.
I only found out when he told Kitty that we were going to vote her out. And then from that point on, I think like he had chats with Kirby. I tried to speak to Scott as well. And then Kirby and I chatted one-on-one and we were like, it's best if we let Scott make his decision for himself. You know, this is like someone's mental health. It's beyond the game. And we don't want to pressure anyone to do anything, but it did affect my game because I didn't have that other person on the other side to watch out for me anymore. So, yeah.
So he would have been the person that sort of helped maybe Kirby back from making a move to take you out, because Kirby saw you as that person that was between her and Ferris. That's how she explained it to the camera. Were you surprised when she said this to the camera? Because obviously you didn't get to see the confessionals. Were you aware that that was the biggest reason why you were taken out of the game?
I don't think I was surprised. I was going to come after Kirby literally the next vote if we were successful in taking out Mark. And she never really trusted me moving forward ever since we were potentially going to vote out Rihanna. So not surprised, but surprised in terms of it was a blindside. I didn't see it coming that soon. And I was getting a little bit comfortable knowing that we had the power. But I knew that taking in Alex and creating this solid four, me, Raymond, Alex, and Ferris, we were so visible in front of everyone because we were taking out everybody else's alliances, and then we were still four versus two, three, or whatever. I just thought maybe they'd take out like Raymond first or Alex or something.
Yeah. Danica is one of our very loyal listeners. She listens to every single show that we recap here on the channel, and we love it. Most of the time, Danica's out in a car, and I'm sure she's driving right now, taking the kids to school or something like that. But Danica's asking a question here for Survivor AU. Always looks very post-game friendly. Y'all generally seem like friends hanging out, and even with the veterans, US doesn't seem to do this. Why do you think this is? I don't know if Aileen can answer this because she's only been in the Australian sort of circles, but you could definitely talk a little bit to what is it that make you such close friends, and it seems like everybody just get along and they hang out after the season. What is that sort of bonds you out there?
That's an interesting point you make, because I think it seems like the US Survivor 45 cast are pretty close, but I would only assume that because the US is really big and everyone lives in different 50 states that it's probably hard for a lot of people to catch up. But in terms of the Australian one, a lot of people live in Melbourne. A lot of people live in Sydney, Gold Coast, Queensland. So I have been able to fly to Sydney and Brisbane already to catch up with people. And I think that a lot of people in our cast understand that it's a game. And we're mature enough to know that all the lying and manipulation is just a game thing, and that we all went through our own traumas on the show, and now we've shared this experience and we're bonded for life. So I think that that's the reason why we're all getting along really well. And, you know, no one was really trying to go after each other with that much malice. Mm-hmm. And if it was seen as that, hopefully someone cleared the air.
Yeah. Can you talk through like your biggest, like, I know everything in life happens for a reason, and that's the right mentality to have. But if you look back at your game, what is your biggest regret? What's like the one decision you feel like, oh, you know, if I could have just done this thing differently here, maybe my game would have turned out completely different.
Maybe holding back a little bit after merge, because I thought that I was potentially seen as a threat, or I had known that I was, especially since I revealed that I could randomly do these endurance challenges. And maybe if I didn't hold back, then I could have pulled off a move sooner. Maybe that would have taken me out sooner as well, or maybe it would have propelled me further into the game. So, and I was there to play, you know, I didn't really want to coast along and be seen as a goat at the end. So I was planning on making my moves eventually. It just didn't happen soon enough after the merge.
Right. And there's kind of two games that are getting played. You know, it's the game you play out there, and then there's the edit, which sometimes I think can surprise players when they see the edit, because you get to see what your castmates said to the camera, basically, and you don't normally get to see that when you're playing the game. Who surprised you the most when you watched it back and you were like, huh, I didn't know this about this person at all watching the show back?
Caroline. She gave really good confessionals, and she was very confident and was able to explain what she did. On the island, she was more so motherly. And I remembered like the very first time we got to get to know each other and we were merged, she'd be like, sweetie, whatever, like really, really nice. And to me, and I was like, okay, I think this is the way, this is the game she's playing. So to be able to see her articulate her moves on camera in confessionals, that was surprising to me, and props to her.
If you had known more of what, you know, like Caroline was doing in the game, do you think that there's a chance you could have voted for her in the end instead of Ferris, or were you always going to vote for Ferris?
Because I had played with Ferris by his side for so long and understood his moves, I did think he had more moves over Caroline. And he was able to hold on to his idol for the most amount of days. And Caroline played hers wrong. And there's just a few things that I think I still would have voted for Ferris.
I do want to dive. I know you don't have to dive into it if you don't want to. But the edit, at least from what we saw, Caroline sometimes came across like she wasn't reading the room correctly. So obviously Survivor is a bit of a social game. that they hammered up for the cameras, like the moments where she was talking to Valeria saying, hey, you know, the jacket, I want to have the jacket, or being very, you know, I guess almost like the person who was looking after the rice, nobody else could actually eat at certain times, and she was rationing the food and things like that. We saw little bits of that. Was that just certain moments that the editors maybe focused on, or did you see other things like that out there? Because to me, if I look at that, I feel like they probably wanted to explain why socially she would lose all of the votes in the end, and Ferris obviously had a clean sweep.
It was more so what people were telling me about Caroline, because I hadn't really witnessed much of her game up until Merge. And even at Merge, I was probably focusing more on my relationship with Eden, with Mark. And so what people were telling me about Caroline was she was a little controlling about the rice and beans back at the Titans, that she maybe complained a little bit more than others. Was a more particular and stuff like that, and rub people up the wrong way, like Jaden. So that's what I heard from people. I guess the camera was able to catch a little bit of that. The jacket situation, I was like, oh God, is this another David Briscoe, like Natalie moment, the jacket? And I was like all for it, because I was like, this jacket moment is iconic. Like, I want to meet them, Natalie and even Mike, like literally for that. So it was kind of funny. It was funny. It was like, not my problem, so someone else can deal with the drama.
Yeah. Can you talk me a little bit through like your relationship with Eden out there? Because I would have thought, looking out from the outside, you and Eden would be very close. Like, you're both Survivor fans. Like, he had so many Survivor references when he was out there. Why did that never come together while you were out there? Was it just because you never played? Like, if you were in different tribes, maybe you started together, it would have been a completely different game.
We did come together in the sense that him and I were actually cuddle buddies at Merge. I think for up until Merge, I just didn't.
Hang on. You're just breaking Mucky's heart so many times tonight.
How could you do this to me?
I was cold, okay? And up until Merge, I didn't want to cuddle anyone. I wanted to, like, respect Tom and all of that, and also just, like, whatever. But it was so cold, and it was, like, literally a typhoon cyclone for multiple days straight, where the rain was coming into our shelter sideways, so we were wet no matter what. And it was Rihanna, Bob the Builder Rihanna, who created, I think first time on Survivor, she created, like, a door.
Tom asking Mucky, where is your Aileen body pillow? You usually have it in the background. It'll help you get through the tough times, Mucky. Yeah, go for it.
I think doing this interview was a really bad idea, actually. I think I've come away with
I think it's very good. You know, it's your confidence level is normally four times that of the normal human being. So we just need to bring it back down a little bit, you know, so that you can fit into society. She's doing the world good at the moment by just pegging you down a couple, you know.
Well, I was thinking of going to Melbourne next weekend, but I might change it to Sydney to see Mad Dog Ferris instead, I reckon. He won't break my heart.
Ferris is going to be calling you afterwards, Aileen, saying, why are you sending him my way? But, you know, there's someone here asking, who between Caroline and Mark would you have voted for? I saw a question, apologies for whoever asked that in the live. Here we go. Rachel asked the question. If they were to get to the final, did you have someone in mind there that you would have voted for, and why?
So when Mark got voted out and put onto the jury, he had a conversation with me and Valeria. He pitched his case, and I was like, that was very convincing, Mark. He had a way with his words, and he was able to take his situation, which was being on the wrong side of the vote and the numbers and not knowing what was going on so many times, to, well, look, guys, there was always a situation where you didn't want to vote me out. Like, you still wanted me around, and it was because I was building these relationships with everybody. And I felt that, because he was building a great relationship with me. And there was you, and I actually like tried to deviate the vote away from him like twice, because I wanted to keep him around in case that I could vote for him. And that was so compelling to me. And because he was able to articulate it that way, if he had that same confidence in the final two, then I think I would have voted for him for sure.
Wow. And how big was the moment when Kirby got taken out of the game? Was Kirby the front runner in the jury at that point? Because obviously she was made out to be this big threat by everybody, especially Alex when he left, really dropped the bomb. But what was it like actually in the jury? Do you feel like Kirby would have had a lot of momentum going into a final situation?
Yeah, she was definitely the front runner. It was Kirby, and then everyone was like not sure about the other four because her game was so visible. And like, I do credit the subtle moves, but I knew that she also played the subtle game. So I was definitely going to consider voting for her if she made it to final two.
Okay. Well, we're going to go into a round of quickfire questions now. So get ready. So these ones here are meant for you to just, you know, just go for whatever you feel. Go for your gut. You know, like you said, you're living on the wild side. You're going to get your rebellious sort of nature coming out. Okay. Quickfire questions. Here we go. First question. Who was the most difficult person to live with out there?
Kelly.
Don't think about it. Kelly. Okay. By the way, Kelly was our number one pick that we want to come back and play the game again as a podcasting crew. We reckon it would be amazing to see Kelly 2.0. Now that everybody knows she's a psychiatrist, like how will she change her game?
Oh, like, why don't we send her over to your tribe again? Willingly.
You're like, Chris, be careful for what you wish for. She's going to be in the season that you're playing. She's going to be in your tribe.
She switched the vote when I wanted her to do the Alex Tobias split. So like from that point on, I can't rely on the girl. Sorry.
All right. Second question. Remember, it's quickfire. If you could return with only one player from your season in a returnee season, who would it be and why?
Mark. Because there was the potential. We didn't see the potential of that relationship blossoming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's say you've got a choice in the theme for the next season that you return on. What theme would you most like to play in a Survivor season?
Fans versus favorites, millennial versus Gen X next.
Nice. Like it. We'll take both. JLP or Jeff Probst?
JLP. Of course.
Let's go. JLP, you heard it here first.
I hugged him when I exited the tribal council. They didn't show it. I thought they were. I was like, oh, damn.
Okay, now you're just rubbing it in.
It's only going to get worse for you, Mucky. It's only going to get worse for you as we keep going through this group. I love it. Okay, next one. 26 days or 39 days?
39 days.
Yes. Okay, so next question. Edge of Extinction or Classic Survivor?
Classic.
Yes.
Okay, now
wait, do you want Edge of Extinction, Mucky?
I love Edge of Extinction.
Only person. Only...
It's one of the best twists ever introduced to the game. Like,
so
legit.
You were happy with the Winners at War Edge of Extinction where everyone was literally there for the whole time and only like one person could go back or something?
Yeah.
What a waste of time.
I warned Mucky. I warned him. I said, you don't want to be in a podcast with Aileen. She's going to see the true crazy behind you. Like, I'll do it alone. And he's like, no, I need to be in on this. So, you know, he's showing you who he is on this podcast. You know, there's no way to hide an hour in.
I should have listened to Chris. I feel like I'm going to cry after this. But...
I've always said if I was ever to play the game, Aileen, I am literally, I'm not even joking. I'm doing this. I'm getting an armband with what would Mucky do on me so that every time I'm thinking of a move, I can look at it and do the exact opposite because that is how I get my way to the end. I would do the exact opposite in Survivor of what Mucky would do if he was out there. Okay, next one. Old school or new school Survivor?
Old school.
Let's go.
Always.
The next one, hero or villain?
Maybe since I've broken Mark and Mucky.
you even mentioned the wrong name.
I already did. Stop kicking me, Eileen.
Well, I guess I'm a villain now since I've broken your heart so many times.
Okay, villain for you definitely after this podcast. Who is the king of Survivor Australia, George or David Gannat? You have to go for one.
George.
George, okay.
That episode 7 of last season, I was like, literally, I've replayed that so many times. Every friend who hasn't watched Survivor, I was like, just get up until that episode.
Okay. Who is the queen of Survivor? No, like, I think he's a big David Gannat fan, isn't he?
Yeah, I love David, yeah. No, yeah. George,
I love George. Survivor. I would have gone David as well. I love George, but I like David for me as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Queen is Parvati. Can I give the US one?
No, I'm going to go Australia, but we're going to come around to the US. So okay. Australia first. Queen, Haley or Shawnee?
Haley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to go now into Survivor US. Okay. You've got Queen Sandra or Queen Parvati?
Parvati. In my audition, I was like, if I was single, I'd play like Parvati, but I'm not. So I play my own game.
Fair enough. I could see you pull it off, actually, if you were to go out there and play the seduction game. It would have been fun to see, but Mucky's heart would have been broken, for sure, if he saw you out there actually flirting with some of your castmates. Okay, so for King, is it Tony Vluckles or Boston Rob?
Boston Rob, because in his, I forgot which season it was that he played, he just dominated, like, okay. No flaws.
Yeah, Redemption Island it is. Definitely, right, yeah. Like you broke my heart a little bit with that one, because Tony is my favorite Survivor player of all time.
He's,
any franchise.
He's up there. He's amazing. That was a hard one. He's up there. Yeah. I mean, he was a double-time winner, right? So, and
this
his
is not
Tony Shack, Spy Shack.
Yeah, so this was good. Not supposed to be easy. Now, this next one, remember, people are going to judge you by the answer that you give on this one. So I just want to preface it by this, right? If you were casted to go play Survivor and you were paired and tied destinies, meaning this person's destiny is your destiny in the game. You can either, you know, if they get voted out, you're out of this game. Would you rather be tied in a fans versus favorite season with Mucky or Chris if you were to go out there and play Survivor?
Mucky.
I should have known. Aileen, I'm sorry.
Why?
To say.
I think I've done everything for the rest of this podcast. I feel so loved. Thank you.
Well, I think if Mucky like went out and I was tied to his destiny, the world would be shattered, right? Mm. So I would get that like secondhand from everyone.
It would only be okay if you guys did your rendition while you were out there as well, because I feel like that is what we need if you were to go out and play the game. And talking about this, we do need to do the song finally. I know everybody's been waiting for it, so let's get the song up here for everybody to enjoy. I can't believe he actually convinced you to do this, but here we go.
Crying in my room with tissue spread across the floor. Eileen's in the jury, but isn't in the game no more. My heart started aching, beating triple time. She was robbed, this is a crime. It's a quarter after one. I lead where you've gone. God, I need you now. Thought that you would win. My hand is in the spin. God, I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
I'm sitting in the jury, thinking about my game a lot. I couldn't make it further, sadly, cause of Kirby's plot. But if I had a second chance, I gotta win. Cause there's a fire still burning within. Don't worry, I'm not gone. My business isn't done. Fans, I need you now. Let's bring back the queen. Hashtag bring back Eileen. Fans, I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
If I had a second chance, I gotta win.
Don't worry, I'm not gone. My business isn't done. Fans, I need you now. Let's bring back the queen. Hashtag bring back Eileen. Fans, I need you now.
and I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
Okay, we're not gonna listen for it a second time, but this has been phenomenal. I can't believe you actually did it, Aileen. What was your first thoughts when Mucky reached out and he said, listen, do you want to do this song? Like, were you like immediately in? Did he have to do any convincing? Because to us, he said this is why he would be good at Survivor, because he convinced the Survivor player to do a duet with him.
Oh, how much convincing did it? Mucky and I brainstormed a few ideas, actually, didn't we? Right? Mm. We really wanted to do this. We had My Heart Will Go On rendition. We had, like, what else?
Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Yeah, there were so many. It was fun. No, and like I said, Survivor has now made me into doing really weird things. So it was a yes from me.
It was so funny. It was so funny as well, because I recall I made the Google Doc for us to start writing our lyrics, and I wrote like just a tiny verse, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to sleep on it and I'll come back to it tomorrow. And then Arlene's like, hey Mucky, I'm just going to start working on it now. I get back home, check my computer, and then bam, all the lyrics are done. And the lyrics are basically locked from then. So yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my god, it was so fun.
I told Chris, like, you know, we chatted about potentially doing something a bit more with the first song I did, but I said, nah, like, I'd only do it if you were a part of it. And so we said yes straight away. Your ideas were amazing. Like, your voice is amazing. Thank you so much for helping with this project. It was
listen,
really awesome.
The idea.
The fans, you know, have spoken. Like, I wasn't planning on an extended version at all after the first one, but clearly, you know, everybody loved it so much. They kept DMing me asking, when is the full extended version coming out of Mucky's song? And when we got you on it, it's a slam dunk to come out here and do it with him. We really enjoyed this so much. I think we need to put it up on Spotify under the Nullified Take for people who want to go listen on Spotify. You can go listen to it whenever you want, Char Dude. Whenever you want. Yeah, you know, we will definitely be submitting it for a Grammy. I feel like the bar's really low these days with Grammys. So, you know, we can maybe go in there and do extremely well. But Aileen, it's been so much fun having you on the podcast. Like, is there anything you wanted to plug? Anything you wanted to talk about? I know you said, you know, you're not really doing anything all that much, but you're obviously all over Instagram. There's great photos of you hanging out with the V's at the moment. It seemed like you're besties and you're doing a lot of things together, as well as with other Survivor players. Like, where can people find you? What are you up to next?
I'm just living my normal life, and I guess documenting some of it on Instagram. So if you just follow me there, then you'll just see how random I am, because I have so many different hobbies. So expect the unexpected there. And yeah, have TikTok as well, which is very new. And then I created Twitter literally just for Survivor. My name is Aileen_Survivor, and there seems to be a lot of people engaging there, and a lot of US season stuff on there as well. So I'm on there now, just watching, commenting, doing whatever. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, Aileen, if you ever want to come back, if you ever want to talk Survivor, even if it's about Survivor US and you just want to come and do a recap and feel like what it's like to be on the other side of the mic for a change and not actually have to worry about people analyzing your game, you're always welcome on the channel here. Your cast has been phenomenal. We will have another person from your cast on the show next week, Thursday, same time slot. We're going to have Eden come and talk to us about his game. So very excited to have Eden on.
I'm glad I didn't have to follow after him, because I had to follow after him for the exits. And I was like, this guy's a genius. He is so good on pod. You're in for a treat. Everyone awesome. Go and listen to Eden's podcast.
It's going to be hard to top this. Like, he didn't do a song with Mucky. So I don't know how we top this, to be honest. But I'm sure we can find a way. Everybody, it's been so much fun having you here tonight. Thank you for all the questions. If you are a fan of our channel, please consider subscribing. It's absolutely free. And it does help with us getting recognized more and more in the Survivor community. We can get more great players like Aileen come on to talk to us about the show. So please consider subscribing, hitting the like, putting the notification bell on. I'm going to be back early tomorrow in Australian time, late over in Eastern Standard Time for the US, to talk about the upcoming season of the Challenge All-Stars 4. That's right. We're going to be doing a draft here on the channel, as well as a recap and review of Survivor US before we have Eden on next week. And hopefully, you know, because this cast has been so good, I've got a feeling we're going to be able to get a few more people to come on and talk to us at some point. But for now, grab your torches, head back to camp. We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye. He's ready. Bye.